Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame and sugar when we come back. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They've been banned from our public institutions and banned from our national consciousness. Instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we now see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they teach the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked, and that's the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 not only practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And boys and girls, that's not separation of church and state. Now, there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and penalties, as well as the 33 benefits for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call right now to order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, why don't you go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we took a look here this week at aspartame. Aspartame has a number of names, chemical names, product names, trademark names, saccharin, cyclamate, stevia, sucralose, splenda, aspartame, equal, NutraSweet, equal measure, spoonful, and Canderol E951. God, that just makes me salivate for Canderol E951, doesn't it, you? Now, the reason that we're interested in and we want to buy and we want to use these chemical substitutes is because we're afraid of sugar. I pointed out to you last time that sugar comes in two forms. It's either complex carbohydrate, like honey, or it's simple carbohydrate, like refined sugar. And I showed you last time what happens when you eat refined carbohydrates. Now, there's a product that we all consume called soda pop. This soda pop contains 10 teaspoons of sugar in each 12-ounce can. Now, of course, some of it has a little more, some of it a little less. I pointed out that Jolt has double the sugar and double the caffeine, so if you want a shot, go buy Jolt. But if you want to avoid sugar, if you want to avoid the results of sugar, like osteoporosis and pyorrhea and cancer and heart disease, muscular dystrophy, Lou Gehrig's disease, and a whole host and plethora of other degenerative diseases. We call these degenerative diseases caused by either nutritional deficiencies, you don't get enough vitamins and minerals, or poison, or a combination of the two, such as toxins. And aspartame is one of those toxins. Your body can only take so much. It reaches a saturation point, and you start to suffer symptoms. You'll get headaches, or diarrhea, or nausea, or some other symptoms, 92 of them to be exact, and the final symptom, of course, being death. Now, the average 12-ounce can of soda pop contains 40 grams of refined sugars. That's 10 teaspoons of pure calories, 10 teaspoons, about 4 grams to the teaspoon. Now, would you ever eat 10 teaspoons of sugar at once? Just sit down and get a spoon out there and just gobble down 10 teaspoonfuls. Diets that are high in refined sugars can promote obesity, which increases the risk of diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, and heart disease. Sugary soft drinks also promote tooth decay. The high sugar content is a major reason why health professionals are concerned about frequent consumption of soft drinks. So if you want to see how much your soft drink has in it, you can get this report. It's from www.saveharry.com. Just one word, save, S-A-V-E, Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, one word, saveharry.com. And Minute Maid Orange Juice, Coca-Cola Company, 48 grams of sugar per 12-ounce serving. Mountain Dew from Pepsi-Cola Company, 46 grams. Pepsi, 41 grams. Dr. Pepper, 39 grams. Coca-Cola Glass, a classic, 39 grams, and so on. We're talking about 10 teaspoons per can, 12-ounce serving. Your body, boys and girls, can only digest 3 teaspoons a day. Even if we doubled it to 6, let's load your pancreas up and make it do double duty. That's 6 teaspoons a day. My God, boys and girls, that's only half what you get out of one can of soda pop. So you drink one soda pop and your body has 4 days worth of work ahead of it to digest and to expel that. People don't drink one can of soda pop a day. You know how many cans of soda pop a day you're drinking? Well, listen to this. 576 or more empty 12-ounce cans of soda. If your school sells soda through vending machines, it's easy to collect these. If not, just ask your students to bring in empty cans from home. Sign is included with these materials for display. 15 4-pound bags of sugar or more. That's how much sugar you eat with or consume with 576 cans of soda pop a year. Can you believe this? I'll just do a little arithmetic here. 576 cans of pop a day, per year, divided by 365 is an average of 1.5 per day. So the average American is drinking 1.5 cans a day. That's 15 teaspoons of sugar a day, average. Now, you take a look at the children involved here and the body weight, body mass of a 10-year-old kid versus a 220-pound man. And the child is overloading his pancreas, overloading his bodily organs with 1.5 cans of soda pop per day, average per person in the nation. And children, when they go to school, are drinking 3, 4, 5, 6 cans a day. Is it any wonder then that diabetes in America has doubled over the last 20 years? Now, when I was a kid, they didn't have soda pop in the school. Soda pop was across the street. Soda pop was in every gas station. There were vending machines everywhere. But today, the soda pop companies, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and so on, have gotten pretty sophisticated. They come into the public schools and they say, look, you let us put our pop machine in the school and we will pay you a portion of what we sell. Many school districts are taking in millions of dollars a year off of the sales of the junk food in the public schools. Now, the schools are supposed to be teaching health and nutrition, aren't they? And they're teaching junk food and sugar. And diabetes has doubled in the last 20 years. I made a prediction. I'll make it again. If we could double the consumption of soda pop over the next 20 years, I believe we can double the number of people with diabetes. We did it over the past 20 years. Why can't we do it over the next 20? Now, if diabetes is what you're looking for, there's no better place to get it than soda pop. No better place. Now, there's more to the story. We're not done yet. For comparison, the U.S. Department of Agriculture recommends that a person who consumes a 2,000-calorie diet should not consume more than 40 grams of refined sugars per day. Now, if you're an adult male eating 2,000 calories a day, you shouldn't eat more than 40 grams. That's 10 teaspoons in your 2,000-calorie diet. That includes the sugars that you eat in such things as cookies and cakes and pies. And hey, listen, go get a TV dinner. Go buy anything. Just go into the supermarket and look on the labels, and you're going to find sugar is in every product you buy. And that sugar that they're telling you about in there isn't natural sugar. That's refined sugar that's been added to the product. Now, if you just go out into the garden and you pick up strawberries and you eat a strawberry, the strawberry has sugar in it. But it's not enough sugar to satisfy the average American. And so when the manufacturer gets through with it, he's put in 3 or 4 times as much sugar as is naturally in that berry. And so over time, our tastes become perverted. Over time, like a drug addict on heroin. You know, the first shot of heroin, that was pretty good. I like that. And the second, third, and fourth, and 15th, and 25th, and pretty soon, well, that's not quite as much as I would like. So then you have to up the dose. And pretty soon, you take more and more. It's kind of like smoking. I used to smoke when I started smoking a cigarette or two a day. Then pretty soon it was 5 or 6 a day, and then 10 or 12, and pretty soon it was a pack. I had to smoke a pack a day. So when I first started smoking, I was satisfied with 1 or 2 cigarettes a day, but then it got to the point where I had to have a whole package a day, every day, 7 days a week. That's 7 packs a week. And, you know, one day you wake up with lung cancer like John Wayne, and you say, well, gee, life is unfair. What's unfair about it? John Wayne made his choice. He wanted to smoke. He smoked, and he died of lung cancer. So can you. Same thing is true with sugar. I mean, you know, if you want diabetes, you know, it's your choice in life. Get after it. And as I mentioned, there's no better way for you to get diabetes than consuming refined sugar. Carbonated drinks are the single biggest source of refined sugars in the American diet. Biggest single source, soda pop. Teens just about hit their recommended sugar limits from soft drinks alone. With candy, cookies, cake, ice cream, and other sugary foods, most exceed those limitations and recommendations by a very large margin. Some of the most important reports on the effects of soft drinks and sugar on health and nutrition are listed below. I won't go through that. There's about 10 or 12 books over here. Remember, this is called www.saveharry.com. For comparison, an 8-ounce cup of brewed coffee has 135 milligrams, an 8-ounce cup of instant coffee has 95 milligrams, an 8-ounce cup of tea has 50 milligrams. What we're talking about here is caffeine. Caffeine. Not only is there sugar in the soda pop, it's got caffeine in there. How much caffeine do you think is in a can of Coke? Well, in Pepsi One, it's 55 grams. Actually, it's milligrams. Caffeine is a mildly addictive stimulant drug that will keep consumers coming back for more. It's an addictive drug, just like nicotine, heroin, cocaine, marijuana. You know, you just want more. And I don't know whether you call it a craving. I've had people say, well, marijuana is not addictive. Okay, well, then why don't you quit? Well, I don't want to quit because it feels so good. Okay, well, then it must be at least mildly addictive. I mean, why don't you eat some dog feces? Oh, God, I wouldn't want to eat dog feces. Gee, it might taste good. And on top of that, it might be mildly addictive. You might get used to the stuff. Mountain Dew, 55 milligrams of caffeine. Diet Coke, 40, and so on down the line. That's in a 12-ounce serving. 360 milliliters, they call it. So in the sugar over here, what they say over here? Sugars. Grams per 12 ounces. I said milligrams. It isn't. It's grams per 12 ounces. My God, over here under caffeine, they got 55 grams per 12 ounces. Can that be? God, that's an ounce per 12 fluid ounces. Caffeine over here, 55. Yep, that's what it appears. It sounds like an awful lot to me, but again, yes, if you're drinking Sprite 7-Up, it doesn't have any caffeine in it. Minute Maid orange soda, no caffeine. Mountain Dew, Diet Coke, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Pepsi One all have caffeine, and lots of it, as much caffeine as it does sugar. A study funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse found that despite claims, caffeine cannot be detected as a flavor and suggests it's more about addiction. The marketing parallels between nicotine and caffeine are pretty stunning. Said let's see if I can pronounce this word, psychopharmacologist Roland Griffins, Ph.D., who directed the research. Both are psychoactive drugs, and until recently, cigarette companies denied that nicotine is addicting and said that it was added merely as a flavor enhancer for cigarettes. The same is being said for caffeine. The source here is caffeine and cola. The real thing isn't the taste. Press release, August 2000. Now, what they're doing here is that it isn't that the soda pop naturally has caffeine in it like coffee does. They have to go out into the marketplace and buy this caffeine and stick it in the Coke, and they do, and that's because it's addictive. Furthermore, MSG is addictive, and that's why they put MSG in various foods. It's like a salt. It makes the food taste good. And it's also addictive, and you keep coming back for more and more Big Macs, more and more fries, more and more Oreo cookies, more and more. Just take a look on the package and see if it has MSG or caffeine in it. Those are two addictive drugs, and they're put in the food to make you eat more of it. And after all, the Coca-Cola people, you know, in the early days, back in the 1880s and 90s when they first came out with Coke, they never denied it. They had cocaine in the Coke. That's why they call it Coke. Had cocaine in it. Then about 1912, they made them take the cocaine out of the Coke. Well, now the addictive quality that makes you come back for Coca-Cola, the Coke, cocaine, is taken out. They had to come up with something else that was addictive, so they used the caffeine. All right, so, you know, you can't blame the Coca-Cola company. I mean, they're in the business of selling product. And what makes the product sell? Well, the thing that makes the product sell is the taste, the sugar, the caffeine. It's the whole product. And anybody that says the Coca-Cola tastes bad, isn't good, and I don't like it, is whistling Dixie through a straw hat. You drink Coca-Cola like supersize me for 30 days, and you'll be hooked and addicted to it, and you won't be able to kick the habit. You just smoke a pack of Camels every day for 30 days, and you're going to be a hooked smoker. And I smoked for many years, and I drank Pepsi-Cola for many years. And one day I woke up, and I said, oh, maybe this stuff isn't as good for me as they're telling me. Fortunately, I was able to kick the habit. Not everybody can do that. They tell me kicking the smoking habit is like trying to kick heroin. I didn't notice that it was that big a problem. I just quit one day, cold turkey, and I don't remember how nasty it was. It was 30 or 40 years ago, but you know, I got through it, and I quit. Same thing with soda pop. I used to drink soda pop pretty heavy, and one day I said, hey, I think I'll quit. And I did, and I haven't been back since. Now, I suspect that if I started drinking soda pop again, you know, one can a day for 30 days, I think I'd be hooked again. Griffiths also said, I'd like to see the soft drink industry come out of denial about the role of caffeine in their products. They're adding a mildly addictive mood-altering drug, one which surely accounts for the fact that people drink far more sodas with caffeine than without. Source: caffeine and colas, the real thing, isn't the taste. Research has shown that the dose of caffeine delivered in a single can of soft drink is sufficient to produce mood and behavioral effects. Dr. John Greeden, he's the head of psychiatry at the University of Michigan, has dubbed the combination of agitation, disorientation, nervousness, twitching, recurrent headaches, and gastrointestinal disturbances. He calls it caffeineism, which he says can be misdiagnosed as anxiety neuroses. Source: Eileen O'Connor, A Sip into Dangerous Territory. I got to pause here. You know, you got this thing called ADHD. You know, I got kids running around the classroom, bouncing off the walls and hanging off the chandeliers, and they don't know what the hell to do with them. I never had that problem when I was a kid in school, and I don't remember anybody that did. There was a couple of rowdy kids, you know, from time to time. The teacher grabbed them, slap them up alongside the head, set them down, and that was about the end of that. But children today are addicted to caffeine and sugar. Then you put them in the classroom over there and wonder why you have behavioral problems. Well, there's a school up in, I think it's Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where they took the soda pops out of the school, and they took all of the candy machines and the rest of it out, and now they serve in the cafeteria only healthful, nutritious food. No more junk food. No, I mean, it's turned into kind of a health food cafeteria. And their behavioral problems have just stopped. They don't have them anymore. Well, it tells you the story. Tells you the story right there. The behavioral problems are caused by the sugar in the food. And the health problems are caused by the artificial sugar in the food. And you get some health problems with real sugar, but you're going to get more health problems with the phony sugar. That's the aspartame. Then you got fruit drinks on top of that. Coca-Cola Company, PepsiCo, Procter & Gamble, and other companies market non-carbonated drinks that pretend to be rich in fruit juice and nutrient. They're actually sugar water. Coca-Cola's Fruitopia and Hi-C, for example, contain only 5 to 10% fruit juice. But they contain about as much or more sugar as carbonated soda pop. So don't be fooled by the vitamin C or other nutrients added in these products. They're all basically junk food. All right, juice content of fruit drinks. Now get this. Minute Maid orange juice, 27% juice. Ocean Spray, 20%. Tropicana Twister, 13%. Hi-C, 10%. Hawaiian Punch, 5%. Sunny Delight, 5%. Fruitopia, 5%. Fruit Works, 3%. Gatorade, 0%. Crystal Light, 0%. Kool-Aid, 0%. Now, if you want to drink fruit juice, then you have to go to the health food section and pull out fruit juice. Well, something that says 100% juice, no sugars added. Boy, those are rare. They're rare. So whenever I see that, I always ask the guys, do you got any more of this in the back room? They say, yeah, I got a whole case of it. Give it all to me. I'll take it all. So I go into the store, and I just ace all the rest of you people out. I mean, to get juice that's 100% juice, no sugars added, is rare. So you might as well buy it all. And you won't find that. I don't think you're going to find that in the supermarket. I think you're going to find that in the health food store. Calories and obesity. Now, this is one of the reasons that you're drinking Diet Coke is because you're already overweight. Now, once you get to be old, you start to put on weight. You get to be 50 years old, you should start putting on weight. And that's because your metabolism slows down. You don't burn calories like you used to. When I was a kid, I was out working so hard that I could sit there and eat 2,000 or 3,000 calories, maybe even for lunch, and go out and work it off. I was that active. Well, if I ate 2,000 calories today, I'd puke half of it up and I'd gain 40 pounds. And I notice now in my old age, I don't eat very much. My daughter's sitting there eating, and I just dawned on me. I said, well, that girl's still growing. Teenage girl. Well, of course she eats twice as much as I do. And she's active. She runs and jumps, and she's real active. And I don't have that kind of energy. You get old, you get fat, you get bald, and pretty soon you lose your energy. Well, typically, you remember how you used to eat, and you keep eating that way, and you keep eating like you did when you were young, but you don't work like you do when you're young. So you start putting on weight. So either one, you got to cut down on the volume of food that you're eating, which is probably the best thing you can do, or you got to go out and work hard. That means you got to walk more, or you got to get out and dig more post holes, or go out and stretch more wire, milk more cows, cut more firewood, do something out there to burn up that extra energy, use up those calories. Now, people complain about being obese, and so they say, well, I need to cut down on my calories, so I guess I'll cut down on sugar. I don't want to cut down on my Coke consumption, so I'll eat or drink aspartame. That's why we're into all of these artificial sugars and diet products. Now, here's the kicker, though. The aspartame actually enhances your appetite and causes you to want to eat more rather than less. It's kind of like that MSG. The MSG makes you want to eat more. You want to avoid foods with MSG in it because it makes you eat more. So if you want to eat less, stay off the MSG, stay off the sugars. And let me assure you, you will never overeat on broccoli and Brussels sprouts. There's never been a documented case in the history of the world where anybody OD'd on broccoli. Now, you can OD on Coke. You can OD on Oreo cookies. I mean, you can eat so damn much of that sugar stuff. You can eat so much ice cream that you'll go into spasms and start vomiting it up. But I've never seen anybody do that with broccoli and Brussels sprouts, have you? All right, so just tuck that one away in your heart. When we're talking about vegetables and natural fruits, you're not going to overindulge on apples, pears, plums, carrots, broccoli. You're not going to overeat. Trust me. Now, frequent consumption of calorie-rich soft drinks may produce weight gain. And calories from liquids like soft drinks don't seem to register as food in the same way that solid candy, you know, like jelly beans do. That means consuming soft drinks with your meal instead of water or another calorie-free beverage could really make a difference in your weight and waistline. Beverages are a huge contributor to obesity. We're becoming a more overweight population, we're less active, and we're also getting somewhat older. So if you put all of these factors together, we're seeing a chronic disease epidemic occurring. 61% of all Americans are considered overweight by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and over 25% are classified as obese or grossly overweight. So a quarter of us are obese, and more than half of us are fat. The chances of children becoming obese increased with each additional glass of sugar-sweetened drink that they consume every day. Now, according to National Center for Health Statistics, the percentage of children who are overweight has tripled since 1970, and the larger increase in children ages 6 to 11. That's because we're drinking more and more soda pop. All right, so how much soda pop should your children drink? Zero. None. Zip. Take it out of their diet, period. Get rid of it, and don't you drink any more either. That's the solution to that problem. And you say, well, I can't give it up. Well, okay, I don't care. You're going to bother me in. You are not going to offend me by drinking Coca-Cola. There's a bunch more neat information here in this article. I'm going to give you our midpoint reminder, and then I'm going to get in to stop this pop display, which is quite a little story, and it's a real shocker and an eye-opener when we come back. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website. It's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School. It's 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations, however, that we give, do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate and recommend the Law Hour and editorial review. They may hate our guts. Now, that's because most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, or you can call direct 417-273-4967. I think we got this off the Internet. Let me see if there's a thingy on the Internet. No, I guess we missed it. This must be a published piece of literature here. It's called Stop the Pop Display. I don't know where it came from. It's got a lot of neat information on it. I'm going to go through some of this real neat information. Get your pen and paper out here, and we'll just shock you to tears with the numbers. Would you like to set up a Stop the Pop Display in your public school? Well, it's easy, and it's a great way to get students and teachers' attention about the issues surrounding soft drink consumption. The collective quantity of the materials displayed is enough to make people stop and think. Here's what you need. 576 or more. See notes below. Empty 12-ounce cans of soda. If your school sells enough soda through their vending machines, it's easy to collect these. If not, ask your students to bring in empty cans from home. Sign is included with these materials for display. You need 15 4-pound bags of sugar or more. See the notes below. This is the amount of sugar in those 576 cans of soda. Sign is included with these materials for display. A large mattress bag or other clear plastic bag to put the cans in for display. And if you go to your local furniture store, you can purchase these bags for a few dollars, or they may even be give them to you. Various sizes of bottled and canned soda to show how sizes have changed. A good idea is to try to get a 6-ounce Coke bottle from the 1920s. You can get those, a replica suggested, or you can get them in an antique store. Or you can go to your local convenience store and purchase a 12-ounce can, a 20-ounce bottle, and a 1-liter bottle. Then you need the sign, which is included here with these materials for display. And then number 5, a clear plastic bag or container with 10 teaspoons of white sugar inside. This is the average amount of sugar in a 12-ounce can of non-diet soda. The sign is attached with these materials for display. Now, in this little packet, God, I wish I knew where you got it. For instance, here's a full 8.5 by 11 page. It says, in 1997, Americans spent over $54 billion to buy 14 billion gallons of soft drinks. That amount is equivalent to more than 576 12-ounce servings per year, or 1.6 12-ounce cans per day for every man, woman, and child in America. Then they got a big number, 576 12-ounce cans of soda, sourced liquid candy. How soft drinks are harming America's health, by Michael F. Jacobson, Ph.D. And you can get to that website at www.cspinit.org. That's C-S-P-I-N-E-T, cspinit.org. Soda pop. That's a shocker. I saw that statistic and I said, oh my God. That, you know, 576 is 1.5 cans a day. That's 60 grams of sugar. Now, remember, your body can only metabolize about 12 grams of sugar a day. So the average American, and just picture your 10, 12-year-old kid, you know, whose body weight's maybe 100 pounds, about half yours, is consuming that much sugar every day. That's double what you're consuming because they're only half as big as you are. You're consuming, as an adult, 5 times more sugar just in the soda pop alone. 5 times more sugar than your pancreas can create insulin to digest it. 5 times more. And your kid's doing double that, 10 times. Is it any wonder that we have an outbreak now, an epidemic of childhood diabetes? That's nothing personal, and I don't care what you do. It's your kid. If you want to feed him, if you want to feed that kid 10 times more sugar than his body can digest, get after it. Then when the kid comes down with diabetes, you know who it is you need to blame? You. Don't blame Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or Senator Orrin Hatch or anybody else. Yes, they're all co-conspirators. They all made it possible for you to overindulge. But you're the guy that made the choice. Now, you want to remember, boys and girls, that I'm a smoker. I'm an ex-smoker. Once you're a smoker, you're always a smoker. I was addicted to cigarettes for 9 years. And one day I quit. And I don't remember how hard it was to quit. It doesn't seem like it was that hard to quit. I just quit. And I don't remember going into convulsions or, you know, I remember the man, there was a movie out one time called The Man with the Golden Arm. I think it was played by Frank Sinatra. And this guy was a heroin addict, and he wanted to get off heroin, so he locked himself in a room, and he was kicking and screaming and bouncing off the walls and swinging off the chandeliers and sweating and going through all of this, you know. And, you know, the story that I heard was that it's harder to get off of nicotine than it is off of heroin. I never went through any of that. I'm sure it was uncomfortable, and I'm sure I was craving a weed, but... You know, if you can make up your mind, I mean, it's your health. I mean, you're going to do it or you're not, one or the other. I did the same thing with soda pop. They used to call me the Pepsi Kid. I drank Pepsi Cola when I went into the corner, the friendly corner, you know, to have a drink. You know, with the boys, they'd all order beer or a mixed drink or something. I ordered Pepsi Cola. I never did care much for the taste of whiskey, and I didn't really like beer. But, boy, I really liked the Pepsi Cola. And I drank Pepsi, and they called me the Pepsi Kid. I don't know how many I drank. I imagine I drank the national average, 1.5 a day. I don't remember that it ever impacted on my health. As far as I know, I didn't get Alzheimer's disease, and I didn't get diabetes. At least I haven't got it yet. But then I quit many years ago, and so maybe that helped me. Maybe that solved the problem. The reason I bring this to your attention is I don't think that the average guy on the street can equate in his mind 576 cans of soda pop, 1.5 cans a day, that contain 60 grams of sugar. Now, that's 15 teaspoons of sugar. 60 grams is 4 into 60. 15, 34, that's 15 teaspoons of sugar a day from just that one source. 15 teaspoons of sugar from soda pop on average per person per day, which is 4 times what you can digest. And that's why you've got diabetes. And if you're suffering from pyorrhea or you've got some other disease, osteoporosis, well, sugar's doing it to you. The amount of sugar in 576 12-ounce cans of soda pop is 15 4-pound bags. So you take a 4-pound bag of sugar, that's 15 of those. So if you want to set up a display, you need 15 of these 4-pound bags of sugar, and you set up that display over there and show people, number one, there's 576 cans of soda pop, and here's 15 4-pound bags of sugar, and that's what you're consuming, boys and girls, every year. Now, boys age 12 to 19 drink an average of 2.5 12-ounce sodas per day. Now, that equates to 867 sodas each year. So boys drink a little more than the national average. In fact, they drink one can more than the national average per day. This same age group, if girls drink slightly less but still large amounts, girls 12 to 19 consume 1.7 sodas per day, or an average of 621 sodas each year. That's 867 soda pops for you girls, 12 ounces to a can. And remember, the source now comes from Liquid Candy, How Soft Drinks Are Harming Americans' Health, by Michael F. Jacobson. And remember, that's www.cspinit. It's all one word, just cspinit.org. Then they got another little story here. The amount of sugar in 867 12-ounce cans of soda is 22.5 4-pound bags, just a little bit less than the boys drink. Girls 12 to 19 consume 1.7 sodas per day, or an average of 621 sodas a year. Tuck that one away in your heart. The amount of sugar in 621 12-ounce cans of soda, 16 4-pound bags. 16 4-pound bags. And then how soda sizes have changed. This was kind of an eye-opener. I first got wind of this in the book, or no, that was the movie. Let me tell you about this, a documentary called Super Size Me. Super Size Me. I had a student give it to me, so I don't know where to buy it. But boy, is it a revelation. It's about McDonald's. It's about fast foods. The same thing would be true with Burger King or Wendy's or Hardee's or anybody else. But this guy who was in good health, he's a vegetarian, probably a vegan. I don't know exactly what his food habits were. But we could tell by, you know, the gist of the documentary, this guy's in perfect health. And they take him in. They measure his cholesterol. They measure his body fat. He goes to three doctors and a nutritionist. They check this guy out. I mean, this guy is in perfect health. He eats McDonald's for 30 days. He gained, I don't know, 20 pounds in 30 days, something on that order. And his cholesterol shot up. His blood serum shot up. I mean, everything about him. In fact, all three doctors that were monitoring his health recommended before he finished the 30 days that he stop the experiment because it was killing him. And all three doctors said that they were surprised that a high-fat diet would do that to people. They didn't have any idea either. All three of them medical doctors. So how soda sizes have changed? Well, the original 1920 size of Coca-Cola was 6.5 fluid ounces in a glass bottle. I remember when I was a kid, it cost a nickel. A Coca-Cola cost a nickel, and it was 6.5 ounces. Then in the 1960s, they went from 6-ounce bottles to 12-ounce aluminum cans. 12-ounce aluminum cans. Then in the 1990s, they introduced the 20-ounce plastic bottle. And then in the late 1990s, the 1-liter plastic bottles. Now, it's very common for people to consume these super-sized drinks. I was in some place the other day. They call it the Big Gulp at 7-Eleven. I think it's called Big Gulp. It's 32 ounces. And there was one I saw the other day. I forgot where this was. 64 ounces. That's a half a gallon. Half a gallon. Hell, I couldn't drink a half a gallon of water a day, much less a half a gallon of Coke. I don't know where in the hell you get that stuff. An alcoholic would have a hard time drinking a half a gallon of beer, wouldn't he? 12 ounces to a beer, 64 ounces divided by 12. But divided by 12 is how much? 5 1/3. Hell, it's a six-pack of beer. When you walk in here and you get one of these 64 ounces, you're drinking a six-pack. My God, when I was a young man, I couldn't drink a six-pack. Well, I guess I could drink a six-pack in a couple of days, but I couldn't get that all down in me one time. Now, of course, you've had a practiced alcoholic can drink a six-pack, but, you know, normal people can't quite do that. So they get a picture in here how sizes have changed. So they got the four sizes of Coke here, 6-ounce Coke. Then they got a 12-ounce Coke. Then they got a 20-ounce Coke. And then they got a 1-liter Coke. All right, so people now are encouraged to supersize their drinks, and so now they're drinking liters instead of bottles. The average amount of sugar in one 12-ounce can of soda is 10 teaspoons. Tuck that one away in your heart. 10. You can digest 3 a day. You get 10 in one can. For a healthy 120-pound person, 120-pound person, boy, that's kind of a runner, a midget. I weigh 220. And let's see, for a healthy 120-pound person, that'd have to be a woman, wouldn't it? Who eats a healthy diet and exercises regularly, drinking one 20-ounce soda every day, can contribute enough extra calories to equal 27 pounds a year. All right, let's get this one down, ladies. Let's assume that you weigh 120 pounds. If you drink one 20-ounce soda pop every day, that's equal to 27 pounds a year. It would take 2 hours of moderate walking to burn off the calories from one 20-ounce soda. So that kind of tells you why Americans are becoming obese or why they're becoming overweight. You know, there's only so many calories that you can consume in a day. So many calories. Now, when I was a young man, 2,000 calories wouldn't run me for a day. And I'm pretty sure that a pretty healthy athlete would probably eat 3,000 or 4,000 calories a day because they're consuming, they're burning up a lot of energy. Now, I can remember back in World War II, 1,200 calories was what they called a starvation diet. The Geneva Convention required that you feed prisoners at least 1,200 calories a day. If you expect to get any work out of them, you're going to have to give them 2,000. If you want lots of work out of them, you got to give them 3,000 or 4,000. It isn't uncommon for people in construction to eat 5,000 or 6,000 calories a day. Now, I know that because I used to work in construction, and I can tell you that, boy, you know, we worked hard. We drank a lot of water. We ate a lot of food. We worked hard. We put a lot of shingles up on the roof. All right, so that's where that's at. But when you drink a 20-ounce soda pop every day, just one a day, 20 ounces, you're going to put on 27 pounds at the end of the year, 27 pounds. So, you know, the average Joe six-pack says, well, then I'll drink a Diet Coke, Diet Coke. The Diet Coke with the aspartame in it makes you eat more Oreo cookies and other stuff, which more than offsets that 27 pounds. So the more of that Diet Coke you drink, the sicker you're going to get from the toxins, but in addition to that, the more other foods you're going to eat and the fatter you're going to get. Now, that's one of the symptoms. That's one of the cause and effect relationships with the diet. Diet does not make you lose weight. Diet makes you gain weight. Now, a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew contains 19 teaspoons of sugar. 19 teaspoons. A person who drinks a bottle per day consumes just under 1.4 pounds of sugar per week from Mountain Dew alone. A bottle of Mountain Dew a day. A 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew contains 92 milligrams of caffeine, nearly equivalent to an adult dose of no-dose. I mean, that stuff ought to wire you. I mean, if you're a truck driver, drink Mountain Dew instead of coffee. You'll get more caffeine out of it. Now, I drank a lot of coffee, drove a lot of miles, and took a lot of no-dose. That's to keep you awake. That's to wire you up, you know, so you don't fall asleep and run off the road. Mountain Dew puts caffeine in their product because it's addictive. I had a guy working here. He used to buy Mountain Dew in the 2-liter bottles. By the case, he'd get 6 cases of 2-liter bottles. And he was drinking one of those 2-liter bottles every day. Every day. And he was terrified at the thought of running out of Mountain Dew. He couldn't go anywhere on this farm without Mountain Dew. He had a cup, you know, his big cups. He got it 7-Eleven or Circle K. And he'd fill that sucker up with Mountain Dew. And everywhere he went, man, he was sucking on that soda pop. He's sucking on that like a kid, like a baby sucks on a bottle. You know, little 2-year-old kids running around sucking on a bottle all day. All right, so that's called Stop the Pop Display. You know, so if you're an evangelist or you're an activist and you want to get out there and stop these kids from drinking soda pop, we'll get after it. I think it's more like casting pearls before swine. It's kind of a waste of your time. It's like trying to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time, and it annoys the pig. Now, here's one here called my.webmd.com. I don't know what it means, but WebMD, I guess is what that is. WebMD. Okay, now it makes more sense. Are you carb smart? 5 tips to manage low-carb living. All right. The first concern here is obesity, and 1 in 4 children today is overweight, and while weight problems are a complicated issue, poor food choices is the major contributor. Children are consuming 8% of their calories from soft drinks, which is an enormous amount of wasted calories. That's according to a recent study from the Harvard School of Public Health. Children's weight problems were directly proportional to how many soft drinks they consume a day. Then there is the issue of sugar. According to the USDA, children are averaging about 29 teaspoons a day of sugar. Some consume up to 40 teaspoons. Pop is a big contributor here. And we already know about a 12-ounce soda pop has 10 teaspoons of sugar. All right. So this guy recommends this. This evidently is a medical doctor. He says, look, don't bring pop into your house. And if all your child has to choose from is orange juice, milk, or water, then sugar and pop will be moot issues. Now, where it says milk here, I wouldn't feed my kid milk, not pasteurized milk. I'm not sure whether I'd rather give him Coca-Cola or pasteurized milk, but I think between the two of them, I think I'd give him the Coca-Cola before I'd give him pasteurized milk. So if you can't get raw milk, then give him juice or give him water. Water is the best solution, but don't take it out of the tap. Don't give your kid chlorinated water. Chlorinated water. Chlorine is another deadly poison. You know, be good to the kid, unless you hate him, of course, and you want to do him in. If you don't hate your child, why don't you give him bottled water? Why don't you give him just plain water instead of water that's been laced with chlorine? I know it's wild and it's new, but think about it. The second thing is set aside special occasions when a soda pop is okay, like a baseball game or a party, but not as a daily routine. That's kind of what I recommend. I like soda pop. I haven't had one for years, but I wouldn't be opposed to drinking one a week, one a month, something like that. Give your kid a treat. Say, look, you want a soda pop? Instead of giving him the whole 12 ounces, why don't you give him half a can? Make, you know, split 6 ounces between two kids. Let them have a little treat once in a while. You know, it's kind of like having a York candy bar, you know, once in a while, give them a little treat. But don't let them consume one and a half a day. You know, let them consume a half a can once a week or once a month. Never serve pop with meals. Serve water with meals. Serve whole 100% fruit juice. I know it's wild if you got to have something sweet. That's pretty sweet. You know, like 100% cherry juice. That's pretty tasty stuff. Or just drink water. I drink milk. I probably drink a half a gallon of milk a day, me and my guess. But my milk is raw, unpasteurized, not homogenized. And then model the behavior that you want your child to develop. You know, you can't expect your kid to want milk if you're drinking a Coke. So when you go out to a dinner and you're sitting here, you know, in the Black Angus or something like that, and the waitress says, well, what do you want to drink? You know, and instead of saying Coke or Pepsi or something like that, why don't you just bring me water? And if you want to get a little fancy, tell them, bring me a lemon with my water. I want lemon with my water. And if you do that, you know, pretty soon your children pick right up on it and they'll say, well, I think I'll have lemon water also. A little water with lemon on it. I know it's chlorinated, but then you know it's better than nothing. If they have bottled water like at Subway, you know, you walk into a Subway restaurant and they got bottled water right there. Take bottled water. If nothing else, drink the coffee. So there's a few examples here. You know, never serve pop with your meals. When you're ordering at a fast food restaurant, only allow milk or OJ as the beverage. Well, cut the milk out and then let your kid drink the orange juice or get your kid water with the lemon in it. They're not going to have 100% juice in a fast food restaurant. You can forget that. All right, that's the story on aspartame and sugar. As I say at the Blue Room, read them and weep. I'm about out of time, so let me give you your reminder, and we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station with a new story. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement, and the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, we're out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.